Namaste, dear students. Moral of the song is change. Change is the universal law of nature. And this is the only topic we learned in previous week. So let's start with our discussion. Let's revise this topic. Dear students, I would like to share one experience with you. Last week, I went to my sister's home. As she saw me after so many days. So what she replied? Just listen.
Oh my God, you have changed a lot.
Not so, dear. As you saw me after so many days. That's why you are getting something change in me. As time is a cause of change.
Hey, this is something interesting. Do you know, I learned this topic in my class.
Oh, look, dear. See, there are so many changes happening continuously around us. Some are slow, some are fast. And slow changes are like growing of trees, formation of soil, formation of mountains, etc. And some are fast changes like the burning of fossil fuel, burning of coal, burning of wood and
bursting of firecrackers, yeah. Can be fast change.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
What about day and night?
Day and night are also changes and we can categorize them as natural changes.
Then man-made changes occur by only human efforts, correct?
Yes, correct. See, some are man-made changes and maximum are man-made changes like switching off fan, cutting off your nails, then cutting off wood. Burning of fossil fuel. We are burning fossil fuel. These are the man-made changes.
Making of chapati and sabji are man-made changes.
Yes, these are man-made changes. And some are desirable and some are undesirable changes.
What are these changes?
See, desirable changes are which are useful for us. Some changes are very, very useful for us. For example, growing of trees, plantation, then making curd out of milk. These are desirable changes. Whereas undesirable changes are harmful for us. Some changes are very, very harmful. For example, global warming, pollution, then cutting of wood. We are cutting the wood, no? These are harmful for us.
I tried chapati, but I couldn't make in circular shape. So I made ball again. Please tell me, what change is this?
This is reversible change. Yes, dear. Reversible changes are the changes which can be reversed after changing the conditions.
Oh, but after roasting chapati, I could not get the dough back.
Yes, these are irreversible changes. See, irreversible changes are the changes which cannot be reversed back by changing any conditions. For example, irreversible changes are burning of wood.
Wait, I am giving example of reversible change.
Yes.
Like a blowing of balloon, wow. And melting of ice.
Very
and
good.
I also have an example of irreversible change. If we burn firecracker, we get a completely new substance like ash.
Wow, that's nice. See, means you have learned now, you understood reversible and irreversible changes. Do you know, dear, we have again some changes occurring in nature.
What are these changes, Didi?
These are physical and chemical changes.
What are physical and chemical changes?
Okay, so I'm asking you one question. If you kept ice cubes, okay, out from the freezer, what will happen to it?
Simple, ice will melt.
Wow, and is any new substance formed there?
No.
No, that's the physical change. Yes, and physical changes are the changes in which we do not get any new substance formed. Okay, and is it reversible or irreversible?
Reversible.
Wow, you got it.
Okay. Now, what is chemical change?
Chemical changes are the changes where... Okay, now tell me example. I'm giving you example, okay? See, what happened when you burst the firecracker? What you got?
The firecrackers burst and become ash.
Oh, so can you get the new firecracker out of it?
No, Didi, but I won't. Didi, can you do the magic?
Sorry, dear, as I can't do the magic, as that firecracker is completely transferred to new substance, that is ash, and it is chemically different. The composition of that new substance is totally different from the original. Okay, so tell me, is it reversible or irreversible process then?
No, it is irreversible.
Wow, that's good. And the change is permanent or temporary?
Temporary.
Wow. So, can you tell me what, see, the chemical changes are permanent. It's not temporary. Okay, so can you tell me again what are chemical and physical changes? Revise it.
Physical change is the change in which no new substance is formed. The change is reversible and temporary. And wow. In chemical change, new change is formed and the change is irreversible and permanent.
That's good. Means now you very well understood what are the physical and chemical changes, what are slow and fast changes, desirable and undesirable changes, reversible and irreversible changes. Very good. Now the task for you. Will you do it?
Yeah.
That's like a good girl. See, now write down 3 points of differentiation between physical changes and chemical changes.
Okay, Didi.
Okay, that's like a good girl. Okay, have you enjoyed student this discussion? And hope so, you have revised the changes around us topic with me. So, have a great day ahead. Thank you. Bye, all of you.
Hello everyone, this is Varsha Tivaskar. Hope all of you are fine. Here, we are going to discuss about linear equation. You might have seen fruits and vegetable vendors in the market. They are using weighing scale. And if you go to a vendor and ask for 3 kg of apples, he puts 3 kg weight on one side of the scale and apples on another side. Now, if apples are heavier, he starts removing some apples and he continues to do so till both the sides of the scale are balanced. So, if both the sides of the scale are balanced, we can say weight of apples is equals to 3 kg. Now we can represent this in a mathematical way by is equal to by equal to sign. That is weight of apple equals to 3 kg. This is an equation. So when two things are balanced or equal, we can represent it using an equal to sign and it is called an equation. Already, we know about expression and algebraic expression. When two expressions are equal, an algebraic equation is formed. So, when two expressions are equal, we can represent it using an equation. Now, I am taking an example. Example is x plus 2 equals to 5. This is an equation where x is a variable and the power of x is 1. Such equation, you know what is it called? It is called a linear equation of one variable. That is, x is one variable, na? That's why. So, any equation which have one variable and variable is raised to the power 1 is called a linear equation. Now, let us see how do we solve an equation more systematically. So, the basic thing we remember that whatever we want to solve an equation, first thing that we need to maintain a balance of the equation. What is the meaning of that? Left hand side and right hand side should remain equal. Let us see with an example. Example is x plus 7 equals to 9. Right now I am talking about the systematic approach. So whatever we will do in the right hand side, same we have to do in the left hand side. Only then equation is balanced. So let's say x plus 7 equals to 9. We will subtract 7 on both sides. That is x plus 7 minus 7 and 9 equals to 9 minus 7 on the right hand side. Only then the equation becomes balanced. So you know 7 minus 7 is 0 and 9 minus 7 is 2. So we get x is equals to 2. So most important criteria is equation remains balanced. So we need to ensure that if you are adding something on the right hand side, same thing you need to add on the left hand side. And if you are subtracting something from the right hand side, same thing you need to subtract from the left hand side. Similarly, we can say if we are multiplying something on right hand side, do the same on left hand side. And if you are dividing something on right hand side, do the same on left hand side. So that is the only simple thing you need to remember. That is the only approach for a systematic solution of an equation. Now, let us see another way to solve an equation. That is, now I am giving some tips to solve an equation. I will use here transposing. What is the meaning of transposing? It means shifting. Shifting a one number to another side, from one side to another side. Let us see with an example. I am taking an example. X plus 6 is equals to 10. Let we shift plus 6 from right hand side to the left hand side. It will become minus 6. What will happen then? X is equals to 10 minus 6. Why it happens minus 6? Why we need to do this? This is because what we actually doing, this subtracting 6 from both the side. So instead of subtracting from both the side, another way we are transposing or shifting 6 from right hand side to left hand side. So by transposing, that is the word for solving an equation to systematic way. Similarly, you are transposing a negative number from one side to another side, it will become plus, positive. For example, x minus 9 equals to 10. So we will shift minus 9 from the right hand side, it will become plus 9 on the left hand side. That is, x is equals to 10 plus 9 will give 19. So that's how whatever plus one side becomes minus on another side, and minus on left hand side becomes plus on right hand side. Similarly, we transposing multiply from one side, it will become divide on another side. Let's say 3x is equals to 2. Here 3 and x between both of them multiply sign is there. So I have to shift 3 from right hand side to the left hand side, it will become divide. So that will become x is equals to 2 divided by 3, or we can say 2 by 3. Similarly, we transposing or shifting divide on one side, it becomes multiply on another side. Let's see with an example, x upon 4 equals to 7. X upon 4 means x divided by 4 equals to 7. So divide, we will shift on the another side, it will become multiply. So 4 when shift on the right hand side, it will be multiply. So x is equals to 7 multiplied by 4, that will give 28. So what we need to remember, whatever plus on one side becomes minus on another side. Minus on left hand side, it will become plus on right hand side. Similarly, multiply on one side, when shifting to another side, it becomes divide. And dividing on left hand side will becomes multiply on another side. So that are tips you can use for a systematic solution of an equation. So children, soon we will discuss about next topic. Till then, take care, stay safe and stay healthy.
Namaste student. Geography, the landforms of the earth. Do you know, children, that the ground below our feet is slowly moving? This movement is caused by two types of forces: internal forces and external forces. Now, these forces, also known as endogenic forces and exogenic forces respectively. Both these forces result in the formation of different types of landforms. Landforms can be broadly classified into major landforms and minor landforms. Let's see the examples for major landforms. 1. Mountains. 2. Plateaus. 3. Plains. Let's see about mountains. Mountains are the raised part of the Earth's surface which has peak at the top. It may have the sharp peak or the rounded peak. When the peak of a mountain is covered with the snow, it is called a snow cap. Rivers of ice known as glaciers. Mountains are of four types. First, fold mountains. Second, block mountains. Third, volcanic mountains. And last one, residual mountains. Let's see more about fold mountain. Fold mountains are formed because of the wrinkling and the folding of the earth crust. The land is lifted in a wave-like formation and it forms the upfold and downfold. Upfold is also called as anticline and downfold is called as syncline, and which forms the valley. Upfold forms the mountain. Second type of a mountain, that is block mountains. Now, because of forces of compression and tension, the faults and the cracks arises on the earth's surface. When the land between two faults is pushed up above the surrounding level, they forms the mountain, and that's called as horst or the block mountains. If the land is pushed downwards, it forms a graben or a rift valley. Example for the block mountains are Vindhyas and Satpuras, whereas example for the rift valley or the graben is a Black Forest. Third type of a mountain is volcanic mountain. Now, volcanic mountains are formed when hot molten lava erupts from the vent along with the dust, ashes, liquid and many other materials, accumulates around the vent in the layers. These layers cools down and solidify to form the volcanic mountain. Example for volcanic mountain is Mount Fujiyama and Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. Do you know one fresh fact? The largest volcano in the solar system is Olympus Moon on the planet Mars. Let's see about the fourth types of mountain, and that is residual mountain. They are formed because of the continuous erosion of old fold mountains or block mountains over the years. For example, Mount Monadnock in USA. Importance of mountains. Mountains are most thinly populated region of the world. Mountains are the sources of glacier and perennial rivers. These rivers provide water for irrigation and power generation, that is hydroelectricity. River valley and mountain slopes are used for cultivation of the crops and the fruits. Mountains are rich source of minerals used in industries. Mountains provide stones for construction, medicinal herb and other products. Mountains are home to the variety of plants and animals. And most important, mountain ranges influences the climate of land. Let's see about plateaus now. Plateaus are nothing but the raised part of the earth's surface, but it is flat at the top. Plateaus are also known as tablelands. Plateaus are of three types. First, tectonic plateaus. Second, volcanic plateaus. Third, residual plateaus. Tectonic plateaus are formed due to Earth's movement, and tectonic plateaus are having three subtypes. That is, continental plateau, intermontane plateau, and piedmont plateau. Now, what do you mean by continental plateau? Upliftment of a block of land from the adjacent lowland is called as continental plateau. Example, Chota Nagpur Plateau in India. Let's see about intermontane plateau. Intermontane plateau is surrounded by fold mountain. Example, Tibetan Plateau. And Tibetan Plateau is also known as the roof of the world, as it stands about 4000 to 5000 meter above sea level. Third subtype of tectonic plateau is piedmont plateau. They lie at the foot of the mountain. Example, Patagonia in Argentina. Plateau of Patagonia in Argentina is example of a piedmont plateau. Let's see about the second type of a plateau, that is a volcanic plateau. Sometimes molten lava erupts from the cracks on the Earth's surface and solidifies on its surface in the successive layers. These layers forms lava or a volcanic plateau. Example, Deccan Plateau in India. Now, third and the last type of a plateau, it's a residual plateau. They are formed by the continuous process of erosion. Natural agent such as wind, river and rain, they may erode the old fold mountain or the block mountain into the plateau. Example, Cumberland Plateau in USA. Let's see about importance of a plateaus. Plateaus attract tourists for their scenic beauty and waterfall. Plateaus serves as a good cultivation land. Plateaus are rich reserves of a mineral resource. Thank you and have a nice day.
नमस्ते बच्चों, कैसे हैं आप सभी? उम्मीद है आप सभी स्वस्थ होंगे। मैं आपकी हिंदी शिक्षिका आज आपको आपके पाठ्यक्रम से संबंधित कुछ बताऊंगी। आठ किस्म के शब्द समाकर भाषा के सब वाक्य बनाते, पहले चार को कहीं विकारी, अगले चार एक से रहते। संज्ञा शब्द है प्रथम विकारी, आओ इनकी बात करें, इनके भेद और अंतर पर आओ गहन विचार करें। तो आज का हमारा विषयांश है संज्ञा। किसी व्यक्ति, वस्तु, स्थान, भाव या प्राणी के नाम को संज्ञा कहते हैं, अर्थात इस दुनिया में जितनी भी चीज़ें हैं, हर किसी का कोई ना कोई नाम होता है और वही नाम संज्ञा कहलाती है। तो संज्ञा की परिभाषा है, किसी व्यक्ति, वस्तु, स्थान, भाव, प्राणी के नाम को हम संज्ञा कहते हैं। आपको मैं एक परिच्छेद पढ़ के सुनाऊंगी। महाराष्ट्र को किलों का प्रदेश कहा जाता है। छत्रपति शिवाजी ने अपनी जनता, सेना तथा दरबारियों की रक्षा के लिए यहाँ तीन प्रकार के किलों का निर्माण करवाया। पहले प्रकार के किले स्थल दुर्ग कहलाते हैं। ये किले महाराष्ट्र के मैदानी क्षेत्रों में स्थित हैं। दूसरे प्रकार के किले जल दुर्ग कहलाते हैं, जो समुद्री मार्ग से आने वाले दुश्मनों से बचाव के लिए बनाए गए हैं। तीसरी प्रकार के किले गिरिदुर्ग कहलाते हैं। ये गिरिदुर्ग महाराष्ट्र के पठारी एवं पर्वतीय क्षेत्रों में बनाए गए हैं, ताकि इन मार्गों से आने वाले दुश्मनों से बचा जा सके। इन दुर्गों में उस काल की अप्रतिम वस्तुकला एवं वीरता के दर्शन होते हैं। इन किलों के शिवाजी से जुड़ी अनेक वस्तुएं जैसे शस्त्र, वस्त्र और आभूषण निकाल कर अब संग्रहालय में रख दिए गए हैं। उपयुक्त अनुच्छेद से महाराष्ट्र, छत्रपति शिवाजी, जनता, सेना, दरबारी, दुर्ग, जल, वीरता, शस्त्र, वस्त्र, आभूषण और संग्रहालय जैसे शब्द
आए हुए हैं। छत्रपति शिवाजी शब्द से किसी व्यक्ति विशेष का बोध हो रहा है। महाराष्ट्र और संग्रहालय शब्द से किसी स्थान का बोध हो रहा है। शस्त्र वस्त्र आभूषण, इन शब्दों से हमें वस्तु का बोध हो रहा है। समूह समुदाय, जनता सेना दरबारी, इन शब्दों से हमें समूह का बोध हो रहा है। जल शब्द से द्रव्य का बोध हो रहा है। वीरता शब्द से वीरता के भाव का बोध हो रहा है। अर्थात ये क्या कहलाएंगे? संज्ञा के भेद कहलाएंगे। क्यों? क्योंकि संज्ञा के भेदों में व्यक्ति, जाति, भाव, समूह और द्रव्य ये समाये हुए हैं। तो हमने इसके पहले संज्ञा की परिभाषा देखी थी, आइए एक बार और हम संज्ञा की परिभाषा पढ़ते हैं। किसी व्यक्ति, वस्तु, स्थान, भाव और प्राणी के नाम को हम संज्ञा कहते हैं। संज्ञा के 5 भेद होते हैं। पहला है व्यक्तिवाचक संज्ञा, दूसरा है जातिवाचक संज्ञा, तीसरा है भाववाचक संज्ञा, चौथा है समूहवाचक संज्ञा और 5वां है द्रव्यवाचक संज्ञा। तो आओ बच्चों, पहले हम व्यक्तिवाचक संज्ञा के बारे में जानें। व्यक्तिवाचक संज्ञा, जिस संज्ञा शब्द से किसी एक ही व्यक्ति, ध्यान दीजिए, जिस संज्ञा शब्द से किसी एक ही व्यक्ति, वस्तु या स्थान के नाम का बोध होता है, उसे हम व्यक्तिवाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। मैं फिर से पढ़ूंगी परिभाषा। व्यक्तिवाचक संज्ञा, जिस संज्ञा शब्द से किसी एक ही व्यक्ति, वस्तु या स्थान के नाम का बोध होता है, उसे हम व्यक्तिवाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। अर्थात व्यक्ति, वस्तु और स्थान की विशेषता बताई जाती है व्यक्तिवाचक संज्ञा में। चलिए हम इनके उदाहरणों को देखेंगे। उदाहरण, श्री कृष्ण के कई रूप हैं। मुंबई महाराष्ट्र की राजधानी है। मेरी किताब का नाम व्याकरण संस्कार है। या और भी उदाहरण आप बोल सकते हैं, या आप खुद अपने मन से 4 उदाहरण बनाकर लिख सकते हैं अपनी नोटबुक में। चलिए हम देखते हैं। मैंने अभी आपको बताए श्री कृष्ण के कई रूप हैं, मुंबई महाराष्ट्र की राजधानी है, मेरी किताब का नाम व्याकरण संसार है और हमारी गाय का नाम गौरा है। उपयुक्त वाक्यों में श्री कृष्ण, व्याकरण संसार, मुंबई महाराष्ट्र और गौरा शब्द आए हैं। पहले वाक्य में श्री कृष्ण शब्द से किसी व्यक्ति विशेष के नाम का पता चल रहा है। दूसरे वाक्य में व्याकरण संसार शब्द से किसी वस्तु विशेष के नाम का बोध हो रहा है। तीसरे वाक्य में मुंबई और महाराष्ट्र शब्दों से स्थान विशेष के नाम का पता चल रहा है। चौथे वाक्य में गौरा शब्द से प्राणी विशेष के नाम का पता चल रहा है। अर्थात इसे हम व्यक्तिवाचक संज्ञा कहेंगे। दूसरा है बेटा जातिवाचक संज्ञा। जिस संज्ञा शब्द से एक ही प्रकार की बहुत सी वस्तुओं अर्थात पूरी की पूरी जाति का बोध होता है, उसे हम जातिवाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। जिस संज्ञा शब्द से एक ही प्रकार की, ध्यान दीजिए, एक ही प्रकार की बहुत सी वस्तुओं अर्थात पूरी की पूरी जाति का बोध होता है, उसे हम जातिवाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। चलिए उदाहरण देखते हैं। पिताजी दफ्तर जा रहे हैं। दूसरी बार बोलती हूँ मैं उदाहरण, पिताजी दफ्तर जा रहे हैं। दफ्तर का अर्थ होता है ऑफिस। दूसरा, यह पुस्तक मेरी है। झरना बह रहा है। घोड़ा तेज दौड़ रहा है। इन वाक्यों में पिताजी शब्द से व्यक्ति की संपूर्ण जाति का पता चल रहा है। पुस्तक शब्द से वस्तु की संपूर्ण जाति का पता चल रहा है। घोड़ा शब्द से प्राणी की संपूर्ण जाति और झरना शब्द से स्थान का बोध हो रहा है, अर्थात इसे हम जातिवाचक संज्ञा कहेंगे। इसके उपरांत तीसरा है भाववाचक संज्ञा। इसकी परिभाषा देखते हैं। जिस संज्ञा शब्द से किसी गुण, विशेषता, स्थिति, दशा, भाव के नाम का बोध होता है उसे हम भाववाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। फिर से परिभाषा पढ़ती हूँ। जिस संज्ञा शब्द से किसी गुण, विशेषता, स्थिति, दशा, भाव के नाम का बोध होता है इसे हम भाववाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। उदाहरण, सिकंदर की वीरता प्रसिद्ध है। अब वीरता क्या है? ये भाव है। अंधेरे में मुझे बड़ी घबराहट होती है। बारिश के मौसम में चारों ओर हरियाली छा जाती है। बच्चों को देखकर मुझे अपना बचपन याद आ गया। उपयुक्त वाक्यों में वीरता, घबराहट, हरियाली और बचपन जैसे शब्द आए हैं। इन शब्दों से मन के विविध भावों का पता चल रहा है। ये भाव प्रत्यक्ष रूप से दिखाई नहीं देते किंतु हम उन्हें महसूस कर सकते हैं। तो इस तरह से हमने व्यक्तिवाचक, जातिवाचक और भाववाचक संज्ञा देखी। अब हम देखेंगे समूहवाचक संज्ञा। जिस संज्ञा शब्द से किसी व्यक्ति, वस्तु, स्थान, प्राणी, समूह या समुदाय का बोध होता है उसे हम समूहवाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। उदाहरण, भारतीय सेना ने दुश्मनों को मात दे दी। नेताजी का भाषण सुनने के लिए बहुत भीड़ जमा हो गई। पूरी कक्षा उपस्थित है। जिन शब्दों से हमें समूह का बोध होता है जैसे भीड़, कक्षा, झुंड, दल, सेना, मेला, काफिला, समूह, समुदाय, इन्हें हम समूहवाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। अब हम देखेंगे द्रव्यवाचक संज्ञा। जिस संज्ञा शब्द से किसी द्रव्य, धातु अथवा पदार्थ का बोध होता है उसे हम द्रव्यवाचक संज्ञा कहते हैं। उदाहरण, शीशम की लकड़ी बहुत महंगी होती है। खाड़ी के देशों में तेल का अधिक उत्पादन होता है। गुजरात में दूध की कमी है। तो इस तरह के जो शब्द हैं जिनसे हमें द्रव्य पदार्थों का बोध हो रहा है जैसे लकड़ी, दूध, तेल जैसे शब्द हैं, वाक्यों में इन शब्दों से किसी न किसी धातु पदार्थ का बोध हो रहा है, इन्हें मापना या तौलना पड़ता है, इसलिए ये द्रव्यवाचक संज्ञा के अंतर्गत आते हैं। और बहुत सारे शब्द द्रव्यवाचक संज्ञा शब्द हो सकते हैं, जैसे कि लोहा, तांबा, सोना, पीतल, पानी, आग, हवा, मेज, है ना, मेज, कुर्सी, चीनी, ये सारे वस्तुएं द्रव्यवाचक संज्ञा के अंतर्गत आती हैं। धन्यवाद बच्चों, आज का हमारा संज्ञा यहीं समाप्त हुआ।
द कॉरिडोर फ्रॉम Weaver's Supplementary Reader. The Corridor is an abridged extract from The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett. Frances Eliza Hodgson Burnett was a British-American novelist and playwright. She is best known for the three children's novels, Little Lord Fauntleroy, Little Princess and the Secret Garden. The Corridor tells us about a little girl called Mary
and her experience in the house which made her scared. Mary's days were all the same. Every morning she would get up and watch Martha lighting the fire. Then she got dressed, ate her breakfast, and went outside where the fresh air made her feel better. One place she went to more often than to any other was outside the gardens for long walks. There were bare flower beds on either side of it, and ivy grew thickly against the surrounding walls, with the growth more dense on one part of the wall. It seemed as if that part had been neglected for a long time. The rest of it had been clipped and made to look neat, but this part at the lower end of her walk had not been trimmed at all. A few days after she had talked to Ben Weatherstaff, she just paused to look at this part and wondered why the ivy there had not been trimmed. As she paused to look up at the long spray of ivy swinging in the wind, she saw a gleam of scarlet and heard a brilliant chirp. And there on the top of the wall peached Ben Weatherstaff's robin redbreast, tilting forward to look at her with its small head tilted towards one side. "Oh," she cried out, "is it you? Is it you?" And did not seem at all queer to her that she spoke to him as if she were sure that he would understand and answer her. It did answer. It twittered and chirped and hopped along the wall as if speaking with her. It seemed to Mary as if she understood it too, though it was not speaking in words. Mary began to laugh, and as the tiny bird hopped and took little flights along the wall, she ran after him. As she ran, poor little thin Mary actually almost looked pretty for a moment. "I like you, I like you," she cried out, pattering down the walk. She even chirped and tried to whistle, which she would not do well at all. However, the robin seemed to be quite satisfied and chirped and whistled back at her. At last, it spread its wings and made a darting flight to the top of a tree, where he peached and sang loudly. That reminded Mary of the first time she had seen him, when the robin was swinging on a treetop and she had been standing in the orchard. Now she was in the other side of the orchard, on a part outside the wall, much lower down, and there was the same tree inside. "It's in the garden now. No one can go into," she said to herself. "It's the garden without a door. He lives in there. How I wish I could see what is it like." That evening, at the dinner table, she asked Martha, "Why did Mr. Craven lock the garden?" It's not to be talked about. Mr. Craven wouldn't like it. It was his wife's garden, you see. They used to work it in together. But that's where it happened. One of the trees had a low branch, like a seed. Mr. Carwin had made roses grow around it. One day, while she was sitting on it, the branch broke. Mr. Craven was very badly hurt and she died the next day. That's why Mr. Craven locked the garden, replied Martha. On hearing this, Mary stared at the red fire and listened to the wind whirling. For the first time in her life, she felt sorry for someone. But as she was listening to the wind, she started hearing another sound. Martha, can you hear someone crying? It's a child, asked Mary. Martha stood up suddenly and started to clear the table. No, miss, there's nobody. It's just the wind. Sometimes it sounds like as if someone has lost on the moor and wailing. It's got all sorts of sound. But listen, said Mary. It's in the house, down one of those long corridors. And at that very moment, a door must have been opened somewhere downstairs, for a great rushing draft blew along the passage and the door of the room they sat in was blown open with a crash. And as they both jumped on their feet, the light was blown out and the crying sound was swept down the far corridor so that it was to be heard more plainly than ever. There, said Mary, I told you so. It's someone crying and it isn't a grown-up person. Martha ran and shut the door and turned the key. But before she did it, they both heard the sound of a door in some far passage, shutting with a bang, and then everything was quiet, for even the wind ceased whirling over a few moments. It was the wind, said Martha stubbornly. And if it wasn't, it was little Betty Butterworth, the scurly maid. She's had a toothache all day. But something troubled and awkward in her manner made Miss Mary stare very hard at her. She did not believe she was being told the truth. Thank you.
Hello everyone. This is Mr. Sagar Bhagat. Hope you are doing well. In this episode, we are going to learn about basic of skipping. Why skipping? Dear student, from last few weeks, we are learning to how to skip virtually. Today, let's talk about the reasons you should be skipping. So, first and foremost, it's an effective and efficient workout. Dear student, research has shown that you can burn over 1000 calories per hour with skipping compared to other activities. Skipping is one of the most effective cardio workout. Second, you can take your skipping workout anywhere. Students, in today day and age, it can be a challenge to find time to work out, especially during this COVID situation, when we all spend most of our time at home with very less physical activities to do. No club, no sports participate. With this skipping, you can take your workout anywhere. It helps you improve fitness, endurance, and athleticism. Third, it offers plenty of other unique benefits. There are many unique benefits to skipping. Do you know that skipping helps with the development of the left and right part of your brain? Skipping increases spatial awareness and increases your memory, making you more mentally alert. It's effective. It can get you great fitness result in very little time. So, what all are the benefits of skipping? Let's talk about it once more. So, dear student, skipping rope tones your body muscles. It is inexpensive full body workout. Help to lose weight fast, build stamina, keep your heart in good condition. Great for eye-hand coordination, speed and agility. Isn't great and effective? That was all about the benefit associated with skipping rope. Now, let's learn about few basic things that you should keep in mind before you all started skipping. Before you started, dear student, it is very important to choose the right skipping rope. For beginner, I recommend a simple beaded rope. These ropes are inexpensive, durable and slow. Second, size of your rope. Student, as speed is not objective, a longer rope is ideal for beginner. A longer rope slows things down and allows for less than perfect timing. Lastly, pick the right surface. Skipping should be a low impact activity. Jump on a mat if outdoor or on any indoor surface. Hardwood floor are the best as they give you a little extra bounce and are easily on the knee. If possible, avoid concrete and carpet as it will make your rope bounce and you will have to jump higher to clearing. Simple. Dear student, I hope you will keep all the instructions discussed today in your mind and practice accordingly. Lastly, jump like no one is watching. Stay fit and healthy. Have a great day. Thank you.